Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Off the Mark has a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
86 Productions.
Welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. Edge is gone from the WWE. Do you think this is a big deal, Aaron?
I think that it is. I know that he retired last year. However, though, he was under a Legends contract, so to speak, you know, a non-wrestling contract, and he would appear from time to time. And he's been in a couple, or just the one WWE movie, which of course is horrible. and you know, he made his sporadic appearances, but it's kind of a big deal because they could use him as an on-screen character. He's somebody that they could even have possibly used to you know, be like a GM type role, because he still has a face that is very recognizable, and I think that is a little sad. I want to know what he's going to do, though. I want to know if he's interested in going somewhere else and possibly doing something there, because I don't see another reason why he wouldn't re-sign a contract with them to do some possible dates.
Well, that's the thing, because even if he goes to TNA, that's actually, I think, a good move on his part. But are they going to pay the money that the WWE would pay him when he would maybe work a handful of dates a year? And yeah, he'll only work, you know, we'll say 30 dates with TNA. But he'll get paid a lot less at TNA.
Oh, yeah.
And we're talking, he may only make half of what he was making before. And how much will he actually bring in? Because he can't wrestle. He just has to be there. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does. But the thing is, I don't think he's wrestled for anyone else since he became big. Yeah, that's right. Since he's been big, it's just been the WWE and no one else.
Yeah, he's been with them for the past, 15 years, and that's the only one that he has wrestled for, so you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Like I said, it is a little sad. This will be a developing story when we hear more. Of course, we'll talk about it. The biggest news, though, from last week, which we didn't talk about because we didn't know nearly as much about it as we do now, which is Rey Mysterio has been suspended for 60 days. Keep in mind, Rey Mysterio hasn't been on TV for like 6 months, but he's been suspended for an extra 60 days. And we have more information about this now. So, Andy, why don't you let him know?
Well, basically, he was tested back in February, and that's when they found out about it. And the drug, I don't remember the exact term, but it's basically speed. And he said some of the weight loss drugs that he was taking may have had a little bit of it in it, which would cause the positive test. But the weird part is, usually when that happens, I don't know what their policy is, because I read it a long time ago, I don't remember off the top of my head, but he can appeal it. But then when they test him again, if it's still the same amount in his body, you know, that then he's taking speed or taking something along those lines. You know, it kind of sucks, but hey, oh well, he's suspended for it. And but yeah, that wasn't confirmed yet, but we got word later on after, of course, the show was out, but oh well. It happens. So what do you think about this, Aaron?
It's sad because I was hoping Mysterio would return soon, because they really need some star power, especially over on SmackDown. They really, really need it. And I thought that would be a perfect place for him to go. As it stands right now, though, you know, he's going to be gone for another 2 months. Mm-hmm. And so that means that we're not going to see him for all of May or all of June. So July at the earliest. And I don't know. I mean, I think it's kind of sad. I really do. So I hope he returns, though. I really, really, really want him to return soon.
Yeah.
That's what I would like to see.
It is sad that he's gone right now. But the thing is, Sin Cara is supposedly, he's made a full recovery. He can come back at any point. And right now they're talking about sometime this month. So we'll see. I mean, that's another kind of a big star power. I mean, he's, you know, the rumor is still that he's had problems dealing with working on one side of the body, because he's so used to working on the right side opposed to the left side, but you know, whatever. So Hogan has been saying for a while that he has this master plan that he wants. How he thinks it'll change wrestling. He basically wants to make wrestling so it's more of like a TMZ style thing. You see Robert Roode on the street, you grab your camera phone or you grab your camera and you start taping him and asking him questions. Is this the smart thing to do? So, I mean, because that means a wrestler has to stay in character all the time, no matter what. Even if he's going to the grocery store to get Gatorade and water and whatever else they would buy at the grocery store. Do you think this is a smart move by Hogan saying that this is the master plan?
I do not. Here is why. I think that, first of all, if you're listening to this podcast, you obviously know that you defend yourself when you say you're a wrestling fan. You say, well, it's like ballet. Well, no, you don't say it's like ballet because then they'll make fun of you even more. You say it's like a soap opera. You know, it's a male soap opera. You know, these are people who are acting and they're athletes and they put on there's great choreography in there. And it's just there's stuff about it that you really enjoy. I think the biggest problem with this is that you'll, like, let's say Kaz, you run into Kaz on the streets and you say, hey, Frankie, I just wanted you to know, I really appreciate your style. I think that you are a tremendous wrestler. And then he's got to be like, well, I'm better than you. And, you know, I'm more attractive than you and your girlfriend would want to sleep with me. And it's like, whoa, that's kind of weird. I handed you a compliment and now you're insulting me. Why would you want to do that? Like, and on top of that, it's not like you have characters that are very one way or another. You don't have like an Umaga character, for example, or a Lord Tensai. You know, you don't have them where if you ran into them and they have to go roar at you. I think that this is a really, really dumb approach. And Hogan said that he's going to leave TNA if this doesn't work. So, you know, hopefully it's not going to work soon. That's what I'm hoping.
So Hogan's going to be out in a few weeks is basically what's going to boil down to. You know, this could work if it was done by TNA, but the fact they're asking the fans to do it, that's a different story. I mean, you can have a couple guys who are already running cameras for TNA go out and do this. And I think that would work if you were doing it that way and only that way. But they're asking fans to do it. Dumb move, dumb thing. Hogan's going to be gone from TNA. One more thing about Hogan. Scott Steiner has been explaining finally. He was on The Law and explained his rants toward Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan. And as much as I want to say this guy's crazy, he's right. He said the thing is that when Hogan gets an idea in his head, and same thing with Eric Bischoff, and they agree upon it, they run with it and they don't care what anyone else thinks. He mentioned the David Arquette title, which is true. David Arquette should have never been a champion, but guess what? He was a world heavyweight champion in the books. He discusses this, and he also discusses other things, basically how, if, like I said, if it's more of a click thing, if they like it, they're going to run with it, and they're going to beat it into the ground. There's other things that have happened as well, but the David Arquette thing was the big one. I was like, yep, and he said that's, and I always thought that was the reason why WCW failed. He's right. As much as I don't want to agree with Scott Steiner, he's right. What do you think?
And Scott Steiner, don't get me wrong, he's a lot of the stuff that he's saying, it's, you know, it's a mixed bag. Some of it's like, you know what, he's right. He's absolutely right about this. And other stuff is like, dude, you're probably going a little off the deep end.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that he went off on the deep end, but that was a couple of key points that he was right.
I would agree. I think that one of the things that made WWE so successful in the late 90s was having Vince Russo there, and having the ideas that he came up with, he filtered them through Vince McMahon. The nice thing was having that person there who could say, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that that's what we should do. And I think with Bischoff and with Hogan, Bischoff, and people don't give him enough credit, and I'm not a Bischoff sympathizer by any means, but I think that what they should do is that Bischoff and Hogan, who are very intelligent and they know the business, I feel that they should have a third act with them who is their filter. So that way when they say, okay, we would like to do a, I don't know, let's do call outs, you know, like let's do a, you know, gut check once a month. You know, we're going to have a thing where we do gut check. Okay. You know what? Let's try that out. Let's see how that works. We're going to have the TV title defended every single taping. You know what? I think that's a great idea too. Let's run with that. We are going to have my son wrestle and be a mainstay here in TNA. Let's hold off on that one just for now. Let's talk about that a little bit more. See, that's the thing, is that they come up with some great ideas and they have some great storylines in place. And it's like, you know what? That is smart to do. This storyline is good. This storyline is good. But this one over here, I don't like. And you have to pick and choose your fights. You know, you have to be like, okay, I don't agree with this one. So you find the biggest complaints, the TMZ style photography, you know, or videography. That is one that I would say I don't think that's a good idea. The Garrett Bischoff one, that would be the top of my list. Look, you can do the videography before you can do Garrett Bischoff, you know, being a mainstay here. So I think the problem is they don't have a filter, and they're letting them run rampant. And yes, Hogan is a household name. Hogan is a household name. But if he's not helping out TNA like they thought that he would, then maybe you should go and move to a different, you know, alternative.
Yeah, and plus he's making more money than anyone in TNA. That's the other thing you have to look at. And, you know, in a way, he might be off his rocker. I'm just saying. So anyways, something happened actually recently that I thought was kind of a big deal. The WWE, basically on Extreme Rules and on Raw, they were booking a lot of stuff on the fly, which is actually something they usually don't do, but a lot of stuff was booked on the fly. I mean, do you think that they're just disorganized, or were they just not expecting certain things?
I think that when you are planning a storyline and you're expecting these things to happen, you know, so for example, there's the Punk Jericho storyline. They say, okay, so this week you're going to do this. This week you'll do this, 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 then this. Okay. And they have this idea in place for that. Then you have other feuds that are going on. For example, obviously Cena Brock, which is the mainstay. And you have Daniel Bryan, Sheamus, and you focus on what's going to happen at each one. And then you have to build around this. You know, it's like a logic problem, I guess, is the best way to put it when you're doing some of the booking. And when you do this, the problem is that you have little monkey wrenches that are thrown in there. For example, someone getting suspended, someone getting injured, someone not liking their booking and complaining about it and having issues with it. Or them looking at what has happened and saying, you know what, I don't think that this is what we should do this week. Instead, why don't we have this person come out? You know, we talked about it with Triple H and Punk and how their feud, when they had it, how they rewrote the script so many times. I think writing on the fly says a couple of things about the company, which is this. Having certain things written on the fly, yes, that makes sense. Having most of it written on the fly, that means you are disorganized and you do not know what you are doing.
Yeah, I completely agree. I completely agree on that. So let's move on to Extreme Rules. A good pay-per-view, I thought. Cody, he actually regains the IC title, actually, in this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's funny how he got it. Of course, if you didn't see it, Triple H actually was Cody dropkicked him and a foot.
Cody dropkicked Triple H?
I'm not Triple H. I'm sorry, the Big Show. Cody dropkicked the Big Show, and Big Show had a foot go through the table. So technically, he went through the table. His foot did. So Cody regains the IC title. I mean, what do you think about this?
Yeah, it was interesting. It was a different way of doing it. The one thing is, you know, I think that Cody should stay with the IC title, move Big Show onto a different feud, because these two, I don't care for their feud. You know, something else I was just thinking about that we should probably bring up. I was listening to last week's episode, and we had talked about the Miz-Santino match. And you and I both said, you know, and even Doug had commented that they should have Miz win because it'll bring legitimacy to that YouTube show. And it was really funny. I was watching the YouTube. I was watching the match first of all, and Miz was just getting buried.
Mm-hmm.
I only saw 60. It said people viewing right now, and it said 60,000.
Yeah,
when I was watching,
I think the top that I got to was about 64,000 people, and then once Santino beat the Miz, it dropped down to 62 immediately, and then it slowly dropped down to, you know, like the 60. So I think
First things first. I mean, I had said, you know, there's gonna be like 500,000, and 62 watching, like, let's say at that time. Obviously, people added, people left, you know. So, you know, I don't know, maybe like 120,000 people watched it, not 500,000, mm-hmm. as I had said. But nonetheless, I don't think that they're going to legitimize it by not doing something to shake it up, or by having not having a good match on there. Having Miz and Santino, people are going to be like, eh, maybe I'll watch it. And that's something that maybe we should have talked about too. But
yeah, but the other, but, real quick with that, the fact that they only had one match and it was within the first 10 minutes and then it was over with. So you had 20 minutes to fill of like, this is why you should watch the pay-per-view. No, you have that match lead into the pay-per-view. You should have had the 20 minutes of pregame and then had the 10 minute match. And then that's it. They didn't do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Daniel Bryan and Sheamus actually goes to three falls. Of course, Daniel Bryan getting a DQ'd on the first one, which I thought was interesting. And the fact that, you know, I don't know, dude. I just thought the match itself was, it could have been done better. I like how it ended. I thought Daniel Bryan should have won.
It was interesting because I felt they didn't make Daniel Bryan look that bad. Daniel Bryan, you know, he got DQ'd. The first fall. And I think the thing to point out here is that Daniel Bryan, he got pinned once and Sheamus passed out once.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, you know, Daniel Bryan doesn't look that bad since he did not get pinned twice or count or tap out, you know? So I think that's something that is pretty good to be said there. I was kind of surprised though that it's Extreme Rules, yet they're going to have a DQ in this match, yet in Randy Orton and Kane's match, which we had commented on, by the way, where it was a false count anywhere match, Andy. Did you know that? It was not a no DQ match.
Correct.
It was a false count anywhere, yet they were using weapons.
Exactly. Kind of stupid, but oh well.
Yeah, that's... but anyway, let's move on to Punk and Jericho.
Great match.
So, what did you think of the Chicago street fight?
They didn't go to Target, which I thought they would have, but apparently they don't go to Chicago. They actually, you know, do it in the building. They should have gone outside Allstate Arena, gone to Target, which would have been hilarious, by the way, because of course, you know, they should have done a promo tie in with Target. Too bad Kmart wasn't around. I mean, they would.
I was going to say they got Kmart though.
But so it's one of those things that would have been a Chicago street fight. But apparently, it wasn't. So,
well, it's just the name. I mean, that's the problem. This is going to be a no holds barred match. This is going to be an Extreme Rules match. This is going to be a Chicago street fight. This is going to be a false count anywhere. All of them are the same thing, according to the WWE.
That's one thing. Also, Doug, he talked to me. He wanted to know what the difference is in each match. So I said that eventually we will go through one of our weekly topics and actually talk about that, what the difference between these matches are. So,
mm-hmm.
And the other thing also that was pretty big was Brock Lesnar came out and broke Cena open with elbows. And by the way, had to have been pre-planned because you don't just cut someone open that easily.
But, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And we should probably talk about here is that, we were wrong about Miz and Santino,
mm-hmm.
All three of us, and that's Doug included. We were wrong about Cody and Big Show, and then we were wrong about Cena Lesnar. We had thought that, you know, Lesnar was going to go over, but instead, you know, Cena ended up going over. Did this match do it for you is what I would like to know.
No, because when it was all said and done, Cena got his butt kicked. And you're talking a UFC fighter and him? He should have actually gone out on a stretcher, not address the crowd. I mean, it was cool. Like for me that he came out and said stuff, that was pretty cool. But the fact that he actually walked out on under his own power and like basically was no selling then. And that kind of pissed me off. I mean, why would you no sell? You know, why would you no sell? That's the thing. No sell the match. That's what Cena did. So when it's all said and done, I didn't like the match because of that. And of course, you know, Cena did beat beat Brock Lesnar by doing the FU or the attitude adjustment onto the steel steps.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened backstage was the big thing that didn't come out till, you know, halfway through the day is the fact that Lesnar also blew up backstage. And they thought that those reports would leak out right away because it was in Chicago. So it's going to get leaked out, and it didn't. And it kind of backfired on him, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah. I think the match was okay. It is what it is. So I you know, I'm going to be interested to see what they do with Cena and with Lesnar, because Cena seemed like he actually was hurt. So he either did a really good job selling, which is, you know, a first for him, or, you know, he's legitimately hurt. And Lesnar, you know, he had the, you know, let's move on to Raw, where he attacked Triple H, you know, Lesnar attacked Triple H. And, you know, they're talking about how they're trying to possibly make this so they'll keep Lesnar off of Raw, you know, by saying, oh, well, he's going to be suspended for a while, you know, do something like that, which, I mean, you know, that's fine. It is what it is. What did you think of this segment?
I thought it was smart because he only has a certain amount of dates, and I don't remember the exact amount, but this is his fifth date already. Okay, so you have this thing. You haven't attacked Triple H, so you set up Trips versus Lesnar at SummerSlam. That's what you can set up. And you can have Lesnar do some video stuff, video vignette, so they come to him. It doesn't count towards his dates, so he's still around, and you can have him come around, you know, especially if you haven't gone for a few months. And then you have him come back. You know, I see this actually working to the WWE's favor. And then, of course, he has to beat Triple H. There's no way around it.
Let me say this much. I hate to interrupt, but let me say this much. If Triple H beats Brock Lesnar, you are trying to make this character worthless. Cena beating him, I understand. Because Cena is the face of the company. And having Cena win isn't a bad thing. Yeah. However, though, having a part-time wrestler beat him is going to make him not legitimate. Okay, yeah. He will not be a legitimate threat because he can't beat John Cena. He can't beat Triple H. They'll probably have him feud with like Sheamus and Randy Orton, and Sheamus and Randy Orton will probably both go over because they need to. It'll help make them look like a more credible force. So I understand them winning. But if you have Triple H, I think that's the problem. Triple H should really take a page out of Ric Flair's handbook. Ric Flair doesn't care. Ric Flair does not care anymore. Ric Flair hasn't won a match in 20 years. He doesn't care because he's still getting paid.
Yeah, and when was the last time the double axe handle actually worked off the top rope?
You know, I don't think it ever had.
It was.
I think that if it ever worked, he'd be like, whoa, 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 you messed up spot here.
No.
Triple H, on the other hand, has to go over everyone. He is undefeated in 2011. Just want to point that out.
Oh, gosh. He's undefeated? No, he lost. No. Taker beat him.
Oh, that's right. He lost to Taker.
Yep. No, see, you got to throw that curveball in there. So anyways, let's move off this. Let's go on to Truth and Kofi have beaten the tag champs. So they are now the new tag team champions of the WWE.
Which, as we both know, means nothing.
So they're champions.
They are the tag champs. There are other tag teams out there right now. So the nice thing is, I hope that they hold on to the titles, but I also hope that they defend them against people who are legitimate. Mm-hmm. And I hope that the tag team division actually rises up.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what they do with these two guys. So the next thing also that happened throughout Raw was the Beat the Clock Challenge. And whoever wins becomes the new number one contender. Who won that, Aaron?
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. I think this is a great move, the fact that Daniel Bryan won it, because CM Punk will end up dropping the title to him. Because with Daniel Bryan being so over, and the fact that, you know, they don't care about CM Punk, but of course they care about Sheamus because he's buddy-buddy with Triple H, it's a win-win for them. They get Daniel Bryan the strap, they get CM Punk off the strap, and basically they'll feud basically until, I think, SummerSlam for the title. So you have Daniel Bryan, you know, on the wrong show, of course. So he's on Raw instead of SmackDown. But he's fighting for a title, a major title. And you have Sheamus do his thing over on SmackDown, which I think is stupid. But whatever. So Daniel Bryan becomes another champ, becomes the WWE champion. I mean.
So I have to ask this question, Andy. Do you know what the difference is between the WWE champion and the World Heavyweight Champion?
Yes, the WWE champion is the champion of the WWE. And the World Heavyweight Champion is the World Heavyweight Champion. That means it's the top title over everything.
So let me get this straight. Sheamus is bigger than CM Punk right now.
That's correct. He is considered to be bigger.
Okay, okay.
Still doesn't make sense.
Let me get this straight. So Chris Benoit is better than Brock Lesnar.
Yes. Therefore, i.e., Chris Benoit is bigger than Brock Lesnar. Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make. I just want to make sure. Just you know. You know, make sure we understood that. I'm surprised about this, and I'm really surprised that they're blurring the lines this much between SmackDown and Raw, which I really think that they should do something about that. I'm not going to get into it right now, but I think that this is very surprising because I didn't think that they would push these guys to feud this quickly.
Yeah, I thought they'd wait until right around SummerSlam, and I think that would have been the great time to have CM Punk drop it because you could have him wrestle other people to make that title even more, I don't know, like more relevant. And that's the sad part about with Sheamus. I mean, you have Sheamus who becomes the World Heavyweight Champion, and I don't think anyone cares. I they're not making a big deal about how he's the champion. And they should be pushing the fact that he just won the belt, and they haven't been. And the thing is, even though, yeah, he won it at WrestleMania, nothing's really happened. Daniel Bryan just got more over because of it.
Yeah.
So it's a fail. Sheamus is a failed champion. Take the strap off him. But no, we're going to take it off CM Punk. Because CM Punk isn't relevant anymore. You know, it's been almost a year since he had his rant at Raw. Let's move on. Stupid. Mm-hmm. Dumb planning. This is horrible planning. What's the thing with Daniel Bryan? When they started having the yes chance, they should have said, stop. We want you to wrestle a little bit. Or, hey, they should have done something. Or did an impromptu match. Or had Daniel Bryan come out later on saying, I want a rematch right now. And then have him win the title back. They could have done something like that, but him removing the strap at WrestleMania was still the dumbest move the WWE has made so far this year.
Wait, which, not to say, that doesn't say a whole lot because they make dumb decisions. Of course, we know all that. Yeah. Now, Andy, I want to know what your thoughts are on John Cena taking on Johnny Ace at Over the Limit.
This is a stupid match, and it's going to be a no DQ. They haven't announced it yet, but it will be no DQ, just to let you know. Because how else will he beat him? Because, you know, Lord Tensei or Albert, Prince Albert, he'll go ahead and somehow be involved in the match.
Yeah, we know that. You know what the worst part of all is about this match? You know that this is going to be the main event.
Oh, yeah. This will definitely be the main event. This should be the one that's actually done on YouTube, which is the funny part. This should be on YouTube because then people would actually pay attention on YouTube for once.
Well, the sad thing here is it's almost Hogan syndrome in WCW. Hogan would have the final match of the night, almost every pay-per-view. Hogan wrestled every pay-per-view, and he had the final match every pay-per-view, even if he didn't have the title. Mm-hmm. And what's that say? What's that say about your company? You're saying that Hogan is the company. No, the title should always be the company, except in certain circumstances. You know, HBK taking on Undertaker, I understand. You know, that yes, that should be the final match. Even Rock Cena, I can kind of understand. You know, at least the WWE title was the match right before that one. So, okay, I can understand that. I don't like the idea, though, of setting a precedent where Cena is always going to be the main event. I think that is a very, very dumb move. And I just hope that they don't do that.
Right now, I see why they did it, especially this last one with Brock. I see it. Because
and
you want to
understand that too.
Yeah. But him versus Johnny Ace, that should be somewhere in the mid. This should not be the final match. Unless something big is supposed to happen at the very end. Like, you know, Rey Mysterio comes back, even though he's suspended. You know, then I could see it. But come on. Storyline wise, I don't get it. Dumb move on WWE. And this is another booking on the fly problem. So let's just move on to SmackDown. So why is Daniel Bryan taking on Sheamus again? Why? Why are they doing this?
You remember how I said that there were lines that were kind of blurred? Yeah, there are no lines, Andy. let's be honest here. When the number one contender to the WWE Championship is taking on the World Heavyweight Champion, can someone explain this to me? Like, please explain the logic. This is booking on the fly. This is dumb booking. And then on top of it, not only does he take on Daniel Bryan, Sheamus take on Daniel Bryan the beginning, but because there was, you know, there was DQ, there was interference, there was issues with that, they're going to wrestle later on in the night anyway. And it's like, why? Like, well, what's going to happen? Daniel Bryan's not going to win the title, okay? Daniel Bryan will not win that title. If he is the number one contender for the WWE Championship, he is not going to win the World Heavyweight Championship. But so you are annoying people, and you're also confusing people at the same time.
What if he was to beat Sheamus, though? And then he takes on CM Punk. He could be potentially be a world and a WWE champion at once.
Yeah, the world, the WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Yes.
And don't get me wrong, if they did that, then good. And they, because then Daniel Bryan will have something to say.
Right, and then they can make it one title. And then just have it the World Heavyweight Championship. Keep the same belt. Throw the crappy non-spinner belt away. That's what they should do. And then, retire it. And the belt's done. We've talked about that many times. But anyways, that's what they could do, and that's what they won't do. So what I find funny, so Alvaro Del Rio interferes, and then now he is the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship.
And I don't even think they explained it clearly.
No, I don't get it.
I don't think that they talked about it, but they said he's the number one contender for the title. And it's like, okay, well, why? I don't think that they even explained it that I don't think they explained it well enough to be like, oh, well, he won this match, or because he's next in line. It's more like, oh, yeah, I guess he's number one contender.
That's it. That's the only reason why he got it. So it's Damon Sandow finally makes his debut, in quotes, but he refuses to wrestle. So did he make his debut or not?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it debut, but
yeah. I don't know. I thought that was kind of dumb. I mean, you bring him back and
how many debuts do we need this month?
Well, Ryback, what I would like to know. Ryback came out and beat a local jobber, of course. Mm-hmm. And so you needed that match, and then you needed this one for some reason, which I don't get, but whatever. I mean, SmackDown actually kind of was lame. You could tell this was booked on this almost looked like they're like, here's all the great ideas, and we're just going to throw them around. Somehow Del Rio is going to be the number one contender. We're going to have Caitlyn snap AJ and act like they're going to break up again. And we're going to have Sandow, because we don't think he's that good in the ring yet. We're going to have him come out and just say, I'm not going to wrestle, and then leave. And then they're going to have to retape stuff,
Yeah.
Brodus Clay is going to have to come out. And
yeah, well, what? Let's just I'm done with that. So let's just move on to our sponsor.
So our sponsor, the longest running sponsor here, of course, is HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster? You're not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You can find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer an unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, and one-click script installs with a free site builder and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Also, be sure to check out the Section 86 Off the Mark page. And there's a banner up there that when you type in WWE save 10, if you click through that banner and enter that code, you'll save $10 off any order of $70 or more at WWEshop.com. Also, there's 50% off all WrestleMania memorabilia for the next week, so be sure to check that out. Let's move on to Impact Wrestling. So, Ric Flair and Hogan tease a match, and everyone fast forwards.
I wonder if people, if they think that they're going to get more buys for pay-per-views because they're going to tease a match.
Nope. No one cares. Unless it's free.
Yep. So, the TV title, I just... We're doing some TV title watch here, which we had talked about a couple weeks ago.
2 weeks in a row, title, right?
Yeah, that's 2 weeks in a row, Andy, that the TV title has been defended. So they are, to their word, defending the TV title, which, more power to them that they're actually defending it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so Devon, he beats Robbie T. Great, great person to have in that match. Mm-hmm. Thumbs up from Hacksaw on that one. So let's move on to another match, because that's how fast this show's going. It's so Austin Aries and Bully Ray, actually, their feud's getting better. I do like how they're doing this, because he's the X Division champion and he's kind of crossing over into like the big boys play, if you want to say that, into like the more of the heavyweight picture, the upper mid card, or almost the upper card right now, the main event card. I kind of like what's going on here. Because it's helping both guys out. No matter how you look at it, it's helping Bubba out, it's helping Austin Aries out, and I think it's actually helping the X Division title, because when he wrestles as an X Division, Bully can come out and do stuff to him, or he can beat Bully, which makes it, I think, better. It makes the X Division look better, I think, by doing this. So what do you think?
Absolutely, and I wholeheartedly agree with you on that. It's... it's one of those things where I think that the X Division needs a little bit of help. Austin Aries has made it credible again, and Bully Ray is actually helping make Austin Aries credible. So a couple of other things that happened, there were some pretty good matches. We had, AJ and Samoa Joe and Magnus take on Kazarian and Daniels and Angle, which was a pretty good match. We also had Mr. Anderson take on Robert Roode, which was a really good match. And another one that I think, this was probably one of the best matches was having RVD take on Jeff Hardy, and RVD won. What did you think of this match?
I was surprised that you would put this on free TV. I almost you'd have someone come out and like have Kurt Angle come out and interfere with the match, so you don't get to see it all. You only get to see like a quarter of it. But this is free TV, and the ratings aren't going to go up because of this. You actually want to tease it over for the next few weeks, and then at the pay-per-view, you have them come out, and that's going to be the match. So you have bits and pieces of basically 50% of a match spread over 3 weeks, and then at the pay-per-view, it pays off. But there's no point to this. They're both faces. Mm-hmm. Why do it? Why do that now? Come on.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. I really don't.
Me.
This is one of those things where I think at the pay-per-view, this is something that TNA does very well. Have a number one contenders match at the pay-per-view right before the actual match itself. So that way, they can watch the match and do their heelish or, face, things like while watching the match. I don't get it.
And then you could tease something like, say, if Robert would be the champion, you say, so Robert, what do you think about, Robbie T winning the number one contendership? And he could be like, that doesn't matter right now. I have this other match to focus on. And you could tease a lot of stuff like that. I'd be happy with that. I don't know. Yeah. So anyway, let's move on to our weekly topic. So the Extreme Reunion happened. And what happened, Aaron?
Well, a lot of people, a lot of reports said that, it was fun. It was fun.
A lot of fun.
They compared it to a train wreck, and it was hard to look away. And just to point out a couple things that happened. So, Sandman and his gimmick. So he was wasted, Andy.
Really? I would have never guessed Sandman was wasted. So he basically showed up that he was drunk. Okay. And then if you told me Sabu would have made the match, I wouldn't have believed you either. Because him and Credible were, this is not confirmed, but knowing their past, they were doing lines of coke and they got some bad coke is what happened. So they just got a bunch of baking soda that they were probably snorting up their nose, and they had allergic reaction to their medication.
Yeah, Justin Credible, they said, was not fit to wrestle. He was actually still backstage, but Sabu OD'd, and he was actually taken to the hospital.
Yeah, big deal. And the thing is, when it's reported on TMZ.com, it's a big deal, or it's a slow news day. It's one of those two things. But it was reported, and they said the same thing about Credible. So Sabu ODing and Credible was hanging out with him, so put two and two together. The fans were ticked about this show. They were yelling "F you, Shane," "refund," and "this is BS" the entire time. What's this say? Is this saying that ECW is done?
I think that it is. I think that this says that ECW had a very hardcore fan base, and when something is over and you really want it to stay there, you're sad it's over, and so you think, oh, no, it should stay on. A good example, Arrested Development is a show a lot of people like.
Yeah.
Family Guy was a show that, we of course, really liked way back when, and then it was canceled, and then, it got brought back, and people were happy about it, right? And I think that it's that way with ECW, is that ECW was so near and dear to people's hearts. And then to watch it just go by the wayside, and to watch not only ECW, but then WCW get swallowed up by WWE was such a big deal, because it was like, we have no alternative now. And ECW was the alternative. WCW was a similar product, It was Pepsi Coke, for WCW and WWE.
Correct.
ECW was, Jolt. I think that's the best example. ECW was the Red Bull, the Jolt Cola. ECW was so different. And so when that left, it was, I miss it. But the thing is, that's come and gone. And currently, the only people who have survived ECW and that are, I would say, on pretty good footing still. I would say RVD number one. RVD, but he has made a name for himself. He would have done that without ECW.
Oh, yeah.
The only other two people I would say are the Dudleys.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can't say Spike Dudley because I don't even know what he's doing now. He's still around, but yeah, when you look at it, I mean, Taz is an announcer.
Taz, you know, I apologize. Taz is an announcer, but he's doing good. Paul Heyman is doing okay for himself.
I mean,
but when you think about Sandman, Sabu, Shane Douglas, people who were huge, huge in ECW, and what are they doing now?
Exactly. And that's the sad thing. At some point, you just got to say, okay, we're happy. It's over with. Get it, you know, it's over and done with. And that's it. It's kind of sad that ECW's done, but I think it's also the booking. Shane Douglas, I don't think, really took much time when he did these shows. That's the big problem. You can't just throw these shows together. You have to have everything planned out. You got to know exactly what's going to happen. You should actually know before the wrestlers even show up. You should have, here's what's happening for you. Here's what's happening for you. Here's going to be a good point. We need a high spot in this one. We need an exciting match here with you guys. And then we're going to lead into the main event. That should all be done like weeks prior. Like we're talking before you get people, you should have, once you get the people confirmed, you should already have the matches done exactly how they're going to be laid out. And then you just basically, you and, you know, another booker come over and say, should we keep it this way? Or should we move this match to this match or keep it? You know, that's how it should be done. You can tell that I don't think Douglas knew what he was doing until the day of. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if it was a couple hours prior. That's not how you do it. You have to have things booked out properly, and that's why the show is a bust. You know, ECW still can live on if it's done properly, but this just shows that they don't have the right people in place.
Well, and I actually disagree with you there. I think that ECW was certain people. It was RVD. It was Sabu, the Dudleys, and Taz, and Shane Douglas, and you know, all these other, you know, pretty big name guys, a Raven, you know, a Sandman. But the problem is that those people are getting older, and it's not like a comic book where, okay, you know, this character died, we're going to bring him back 100 issues later because, you know, they don't age. Sandman's old. Sabu is old. And they can't keep doing these things anymore without expecting, well, hey, you know what? I may not be around much longer. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. Let the past be where it is. And you know, when Tommy Dreamer would go out there and he would wrestle and they would chant ECW, ECW, that was a big deal. And that was, you know what? These fans remember that. They remember what I sacrificed for that. They remember what I did. And, you know, ECW, it's not one of those things where I'm saying forget about it. I'm saying remember what was around, you know, remember ECW and WCW, but recognize that they're not there anymore. And yeah, Booker T came from WCW and he can talk about how he's the 5-time WCW World Heavyweight Champion. You know, he can talk about that still and have fond memories of it, but WCW is over, you know, it's dead. And it's, you know, it's sad, but it that's what it is. And ECW is dead.
It is dead.
And if anything else, if you want to, you know, have people remember it, have a hardcore title, you know, and have that be kind of like the ECW title, you know, and then people remember the roots because hardcore wrestling was ECW, but it's not there anymore. And I really think Shane Douglas, he's been living off that name for so long in the same way Hulk Hogan has. I think that there's a point in time where you have to say, you know what, it's over. It's done with. And I think I'm closing that chapter.
And the thing is with Shane Douglas, I think he needed the money. I think that's what it boils down to. And I don't think he cared about how the show came out. So it's really sad, you know, and the fact that you had, you know, basically three guys completely unfit to wrestle and one did kind of wrestle. It's kind of sad. It's really sad, dude. So,
yeah, it is.
Anyway, so we want to talk about our next week's topic that we're going to talk about for next week. You went to a TNA house show in Kent, Washington, of course, and you're talking about that. And of course, we got our 2012 Wrestling Almanacs, so we'll talk about that also in the next few weeks. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast, and I want to thank our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.